everyone. Welcome again to the Living Letter Ministries radio broadcast. Like always, God is good and he is mightily moving by the Holy Spirit. And the Lord has a plan. Last week we talked about how he has a plan for your life. And it's a living plan. It's not a dead plan. It's a good plan, not a bad plan. Hear me good. He loves you. Everything the Lord does, from the time we first met him when he said, "Let there be light," all of his intentions were good towards mankind. All of his intentions were good. Every one of them, all of his intentions was always good towards mankind. But God has an enemy. The enemy is why the earth was void and desolate and darkness was on the face of the deep. That when the Lord, when the Holy Spirit moved on the waters, the Lord said, "Let there be light." Something had happened. A devastation had happened. God had to judge something. We're in the last days at the, see, it's not the end of the world. It's not the end of the earth. It's the end of the reign of man, the end of the reign of mankind. That's what's about to end. God's going to, our lease is up, and Jesus is going to reign. Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, had a dream, and none of his magicians and astrologers and Chaldees could interpret the dream. But a man of God named Daniel told Nebuchadnezzar what he dreamed and the interpretation when nobody else could, saving the lives of the magicians and the astrologers and the Chaldeans, the well-known mighty men of Babylon. They couldn't do what the man of God could do. So it is now. When the Lord called us to the ministry and commissioned us and trained us and teach us how to, what to do, he can cause us to say things that can bless your life. He knows you personally. When I used to minister, when I first got called to the ministry, God would give me a message. I could feel it in my chest. Hear me good. I could feel that message. It was like, you know how Jeremiah said it was like fire shut up in my bones. I could feel it. It comes with joy. I had a joy and a peace, and I could feel that message. It's just like a woman being pregnant with a child. I could feel that message. And when I preach it, then I felt normal again. And sometimes, things would happen. Some pastors didn't want you to preach for whatever reason. God would give a message, and it would be for a certain congregation. And you could feel that message. And sometimes you didn't get to preach that message. People don't always follow through with what God wants them to do, even pastors. And I love pastors. I'm not trying to bash anybody. I'm just saying what happened to me. And I'm not hurt by it. I'm not worried about it. It happened. A lot of other preachers I know went through the same problem. The Lord would give them a message, but their pastor would let them preach it. And you could feel that message till the day you're supposed to preach it. And when the time comes and the audience is in place, God know everybody that was going to be there. You have the word. When that day come and leave, then it will lift. The responsibility to preach that message will lift. And you didn't feel it like you once did. But I will always learn from it. And sometimes whoever was preaching, when I should have been preaching, they might touch on it. A lot of you preachers know what I'm talking about. You've experienced it. But don't look at the people. People are not going to always do what God wants to. Forgive them. But I always said, if I ever get to be a pastor or whatever, I would not do people the way I've been done. Because you don't, if you quench the Holy Spirit and disrespect the Holy Spirit, nothing, it's not going to go right. But when you honor the guidance of the Holy Spirit, and this is for you personally, whatever the Lord brings to you and put on your heart, if you receive it and act on it, it's going to bless your life. And the day is going to come, you're going to say, oh, now I see what God was doing. Oh, my life is better. And you go, it's going to solve the problem you thought about and many others that you didn't even think about. And you'll have greater wisdom and understanding if you continue to receive God's word and act on it. Now, the written word is a pattern. You receive his word and you govern your life by it. And then when the Holy Spirit gives you information, you receive what he said and you govern your life according to it. See, God is alive. He's not like the dead gods that all the other religions serve. They're not alive. They can't hear you. The enemy wanted Christianity to be like all the dead religions that he started. So he corrupted the teachers. Now, Paul talked about this and Peter also. They knew that they were going to die. They were at the end of their life. And they said two things in common. They said the same thing, both men. That when they passed, when the apostles died, men would come and they'll be false teachers. A false teacher is worse than a false prophet. Because when you give people bad information, it continues on throughout the generations. Throughout the generations. And it dumps down the people and it nullifies what people get. They get to a point where they're hard-headed against the word of God and comfortable in it. But when you start following God, you're going to want to follow him more because your life is better. And it's not, a lot of times people try to use their faith to get what they want and get things that they desire, money. You know, when people started learning about faith, a lot of people tried to get more possessions. But in life, as we follow God and go follow through with him and learn his word, it's more than just trying to get ahead. It's learning how life works. It's learning life. It's learning how to love your family. You know, Timothy counseled Paul Temple in Titus. When he wrote to Titus, he exhorted the older women to teach the younger women how to love their husbands, how to be a good wife. Peter teaches the husband how to love his wife, and the wife how to honor her husband, and the children how to honor their parents, and the parents how to honor their how to bless their children, according to the same love that Jesus shed abroad on us through salvation. The same way God loves you, take that love and love other people. It solves every problem. You know, and it's time now for people to just like Jesus said when he addressed the seven churches of Revelation, he that had ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit of God is saying to the churches. Now, I just reveal that before God said, let there be light, there was evidence that he had an enemy. And he had to judge the earth, turn it upside down, make it dark, flood it with water. And that, then he said, let there be light. He restored the earth, made man. And then he had to do it again for man. Man got so corrupt in Genesis 6. When you read Genesis chapter 6, when the giants were on the earth, and they were on the earth, before and after the flood of Noah. And people try to hide the fact that they found giant bones all over the earth. But nevertheless, even Abraham Lincoln talked about it. The mounds with the giant bones in it. When he was talking about Niagara Falls. Nevertheless, When all these things transpired, the Lord had to judge the corruption that Satan was doing. And we're about to see the same kind of judgment process begin to happen on the earth, which had already started, but it's going to get terribly worse. But that's nothing to focus on. Focus on the Lord, and what is he saying to you personally? What is he saying to you by the written word of God? That's going to help your life. Don't let the enemy come. He already tore up so many people's lives, marriages, homes, friends. I'm going to tell you something. The best people in your life, the enemy will try to divide them out. Because anything that makes you stronger, he don't want that in your life. And some people allow negative friends, and then the enemy will use their negative friends to speak the wrong information. And then the house gets divided and people get divorced. If you give the enemy, sin is like leaven. You can take a pinch of leaven and put it on a barrel of flour and the whole thing will be like leaven. It'll be just like yeast. Remember the big fat yeast roll? You take a little yeast and put it in the flour. It'll turn the flour into yeast. The Bible calls yeast leaven. A little leaven leavens the lump. That's what it's talking about. Yeast and flour. So when you follow God, you have to receive his word so that you can make good judgments and not be divided against your true friends and not receive evil friends as friends. The Lord will give you his wisdom. He teaches you not to be surety for people, not to co-sign for people. Everybody I know, 100% of the people that I know who co-sign for somebody other than their children, and sometimes even their children, the people don't pay the loan back. So they stuck paying for something that they don't want and not having anything to show for it except for garnished wages. So, you know, the wisdom of God show you how not to run with people that's doing things that's corrupt. It shows you how to live and how to fortify your life and not tear it down. Now, these broadcasts are on newlivingletters.com, newlivingletters.com. The Lord is saying so much. He put this here to be a tool. These radio broadcasts are on newlivingletters.com on the audio 5 page for this year. The theme of this year is Ready or Not. And there are writings on the website free. Every radio broadcast that I do is on that. I put them on the website. There's an old website called the old website is livingletterministries.com. The old website is livingletterministries.com. It's still active and it has broadcasts from 2006 to 2012. There's a 3-year gap where I couldn't operate the website, but in 2015 I started newlivingletters.com. And all the broadcasts from 2015 are now on there. Now, this broadcast is on the air right now, real time. If you go to newlivingletters.com, you can download this broadcast and any ones you want onto your devices, your smartphones, tablets, computers, PC, Mac, whatever you got. Now, there's information to do it on your phone. If you don't know how to do it, ask your grandchild or ask your child, and they know how to do it. Now, the Lord has living promises for us. His word is alive. It starts a healing process within you, and your life begins to fortify. Fortify means, just like in the Civil War, they make forts. Fortify means that they make a fort that they can fight from. It surrounds them. They can fight over the barriers and not get killed. They make a stronghold so that their army don't get wiped out. Same thing with you. When the word of God will fortify, just like when you drink orange juice and you eat the right kind of foods, you're fortifying your body against sickness and disease. When you go to the doctor and take care of yourself and exercise, you're fortifying your body against ailments. So you have to do the same thing for life. You have to know what not to do and you have to know what to do. Now, I'm here to tell you, God is more than just the guy who don't want you to sin. He's also the guy who wants you to live. And he wants you to understand. Some people think that the more I know, the more I got to be accountable for. If I don't know it, I'm free from being, I don't have to be responsible. That's a lie. Because you can judge right and wrong. You know that you can go and get help, and you refuse to do it. So when you get sucker punched, and then you end up in a bad situation, that's why. There's no need to get sucker punched by the world. There's no need to be easy prey for ripoff. There's no need to allow the enemy to devastate your life that God paid for with his blood. Learn what he's saying for yourself. God is more than just rules and regulations. He's a father who loves you. He wants you to live forever. He don't want you to be destroyed with this world. He's going to judge this world. He did something about our sin condition. So receive his help. We needed his help. If Jesus didn't die for us, we'd go straight on to hell. We cannot go to the kingdom of God. God made a place called Abraham's bosom. It was a waiting place until Jesus died for us all. That's where people went that were not evil. Some people were enemies against the things of God, and they were murderers. They went on to hell. Like the rich man. But see, Lazarus went to Abraham's bosom because he would be redeemed. In other words, the Lord has good things in store for us. If you stick with what God has done in the beginning, he's always preparing things to be the best blessing for mankind. When he gave man a king, he gave him the best. It says Saul was the goodliest. Whenever he chose something, when he sent his only begotten son to be our savior, he became a man to be our savior. Everything that he did it well. Remember, every piece of fruit you eat, every nut, berry, everything that you eat is designed by God to be good. When there was no sin on the earth, there was nothing poisonous on the earth. When man sinned, it changed everything. It didn't change every plant, but some plants altered. It changed the course. Death started working. If death started working in man, death would start working in plants and in animals and in the earth. Well, God made the earth to be here forever. But the things, nothing. There was no reference for death until there was sin. Anything that dies has sin in it. Jesus laid his life down and he picked it back up. When they nailed him on the cross and they cut him, that didn't kill him. I promise you. What man did against his body didn't kill him. It hurt, but he died because he laid his life down. And then he said, if I lay my life down, I'll pick it back up. No man can lay his life down and pick it back up unless he's sinless. He died for us, and he redeemed us. He did it legally. He did it for you. Satan don't want you to believe that. When you hear the simplicity of the gospel, if you walk away from it, Satan won in your life. And when you die, you won't belong to God. Demons will come and carry you. They'll drag you right on down the hill. And you'll remember. You'll wonder, what did I do wrong? You were born in sin. And God had to do something about it. He already provided us a way out of this problem. It's not just one sin, it's the condition of sin. And not doing anything about it. Well, what about little babies and little children? They can't judge right and wrong. In fact, a very young child, they can't process that yet, so God don't, he's looking at the parents. But when they reach an age of accountability, which depends on what that, it depends on the child, what can he process? Or what can she process? Then, I remember when I was somewhere between the 7th and 8th grade, the Lord spoke to me and said, you're on your own now. And I knew that I had to get saved. Because when I was 10 years old, my cousin broke it down why we needed a Savior. Sometimes Christian people don't explain it. And I hope I do a good job explaining why we needed a Savior and why he died for us. And, I, you know, years later, I told my the same cousin, I said, you know, I would have got saved a lot earlier, but I wanted to quit cussing first. I wanted to quit doing some things first. And then I would get saved. He said, you're not in a position to promise God anything. He said, you needed a Savior. You need, that's why you needed to be saved. Quit waiting until you stop doing stuff. Ask him to save you today. What if you go in a coma and you never believed on Jesus? People will pull the plug and that'll be the end of you and they'll bury you. Believe on Jesus while you can. And he'll help you work out your salvation and all the difficulties that you go through. He'll help you work all that out. You need to, if a man is an alcoholic or a drug addict, they need to believe on Jesus Christ. Ain't no way in the world they're going to leave that stuff alone by themselves. They're going to need help. Believe on Jesus Christ and he'll help you work out the details. But turn from sin. Reject the sin. Sin that got you to that point. Reject it. Don't turn from wicked ways in your heart. And ask the Lord to help you turn from those wicked ways. Because they will kill you. And follow the love of God. Follow the process of life. Learn what the Lord has to say. Learn his word. Because God is more than regulations. God is alive. Learn how to live. Learn what he has to say. It's beautiful. And when you receive a plan for your life, God will give you, what do you love to do? How do you want your life to be? The plan of God is tied to what you really want to do. I'm going to say that again, because sometimes people think so religiously because of old deception that they don't get it. The plan of God is tied to what you really want to do in your heart. How you really want your heart to be. How you really want your life to be. The kind of family, not the evil things, but the some people, they want a happy family, a blessed family. When they see a family in the park laughing and playing with that child, a lot of people want that. Men and women want that. They want somebody that they can fall in love with and have a child and raise a family and have a good time at the park and live in a good house and go swimming and go fishing. Men want to take their sons fishing and help them work on cars and race motorcycles or whatever they want to do. The plan of God is tied to what you sincerely want, how you sincerely desire your life to be. Sometimes people want to be a blessing to others. They just don't know how to do it. The plan of God, my friend, is tied to what you sincerely desire in your heart. God put that there. That's your individual uniqueness. That's why it's there. God wouldn't make you, and he doesn't want you to be his slave. He wants you to be his child. He wants you to be a friend, a blessing. He wants to be your God, and he wants you to be his child, his people. And he loves you. That's why he made us kings and priests. He's not trying to get you to be a robot. He's not trying to find a way to knock you out. He's not out to get you. Don't listen to satanic representations of who God is. People treat God all kind of ways, but he loves us. He's too good for us to walk around thinking that we ain't no good. If you listen to the wrong preachers, then you believe the wrong things. There are good preachers and there are bad ones, just like there are good people and there are bad people. There are wheat and there are tares. But when you hear the truth of God's word, you'll have a desire for what's right. And what's right will work. The word of God will work and will not fail you. The word of God will work and will not fail you. You will be blessed. You're going to grow from glory to glory. You're not going to walk around all messed up for the rest of your life. Everything that went wrong, God, he has a plan of correction. He has a plan of training for something much greater. Even if you don't, some people don't get a chance to go to school. But the Lord will train them for something and they'll be and bless what they do. He can bless you on your job. There's always room to advance. He can teach you about relationships, things you never learned before. He can teach you how to teach your children. He can show you how to teach them what to watch out for. He can teach you how to be a good friend, a good wife, a good husband if you're a man. He can give you every form of wisdom that you need. He can help you problem solve. If you're trying to invent something, he can help you with that. He can inspire you. If you're a writer, he can help you write. If you love music, he can help. He can give you songs in the night and show you how to make the songs you already wrote sound better and correct the language in it. What I mean by that, what is it promoting? You could be promoting the goodness of God instead of the wiles of the enemy. The Lord loves us. He thinks of everything. Everybody that walk away sorrowful, they missing out. And there's no need for that. God has a beautiful plan for you. And it's tied for what you sincerely desire in the first place. Every time I draw near to the Lord, he showed me how to do things in better ways. And not to mention authority. He gave us authority over the enemy. You can shut the enemy's works down at your will. If you win the battle within, it's easy to win the battle without. One of the Proverbs, I think it's Proverbs 18 or 28. I gotta find it. Sorry, but I gotta find it. It said that better is he that rules his spirit or rules his heart than he that takes a city. Better is he that rules his heart than he that takes a city. Before Jesus died for us on the cross, he became one with the will of God in the Garden of Gethsemane. You got to read these stories. They show you, Jesus show us how to do it. When the Holy Spirit led Jesus to go to the wilderness so he could be tempted by Satan, Jesus showed us how to fight. You stick with the word of God. You don't cross the lines of the word of God, the written word of God. That's the way you win the battle within. You stick to the word of God and you speak it in your life and you cherish it. And then ministry is a cakewalk. Winning battles is a cakewalk. It's easy. You can tell Satan to stop his activity when you see a gunfight brewing or a fight brewing or a gunfight in progress. You can tell Satan you can't kill anybody and you can't hurt anybody in Jesus' name. And when you say that in faith, it's just like God said it. And you'll find out real quick that the enemy will obey you. Now, you can't tell him to go get you a cup of coffee, but you can stop his activity. And you wouldn't want to drink coffee that he brought you anyway. I like humor. Anyway, we have to follow the Lord our God and King. Stick with the word, folks. The word of God will bless you. It will prepare your life to be like what you want on the inside. Your individual uniqueness from God is not things that would go against your conscience or go against the word of God. Those kind of things take away your ability to have a successful life. If your goals are to go to the party and dance with the women and live a life of fornication and adultery, that's destroying you. If you love that, you love death, because it's coming. That stuff ain't free. You're going to pay for that. But if you want a good home, family, long life, a blessing, you want to be a blessing to people, now you're dealing with God's language. God doesn't go beyond the word of God. Oh, I'm out of time, but the Lord is not. He'll continue to mightily move in and throughout your life. When you don't miss out on the things of God, you help other people to see that there is a better way. And then it encourages them to live a better life as well. And involve God. Involve God in your life. Don't run from Him. Involve Him.